Now, back to Talking About the Law with attorney Bob Flynn.
Welcome back. This is Bob Flynn. We're talking about the law of workers' comp, SSDI, and accident cases with Rob Noah. Rob, just before the break, you were telling us what workers' comp does do for a worker, and you were suggesting that it's a wage replacement program in part and takes care of the medical bill part of it, and there's a trip A to B, probably goes a little further too. Take us on that trip.
There are a number of side roads that you can travel down as well at times, but again, the straightforward purpose of workers' comp really is to get somebody through the recovery phase and back to work and provide compensation for them while they're out to pay their bills, because everybody has a mortgage or rent and you have to buy groceries. As I said earlier, the rate of pay is 60% of your average weekly wage. The medical benefits get taken care of by the workers' comp insurance, and medical is whatever you may need, be it the ambulance to take you to the hospital, hospital diagnostic studies, surgery if that's required, rehab in the form of physical therapy, whatever you need. It's designed to get you back up on your feet. If in certain unfortunate circumstances you cannot go back to doing what you used to do because your injuries won't allow you to, you have the right to apply for vocational rehabilitation. And what voc rehab does is look at the injured worker and apply a two-step process. Can the voc rehab folks help get them placed in a new line of work that's going to approximate their former average wage? Or if they cannot do that, then they will look at job training programs. Typically, it's not a four-year degree at Harvard, but there's a lot of training programs that are cost-effective that can allow someone to get back to work in a more or less physically demanding setting, I should say. The other thing that comp can provide, again, is if you do not have a full and complete recovery, if your attending physicians tell us that you are going to have some sort of a permanent loss of function, for example, a 5% loss of function to your back or your knee or your shoulder or whatever it is that you've hurt, there is specific monetary compensation that the workers' comp system provides to the injured worker for that loss of a body part or the loss of function.
So what is the process? Say somebody's injured on a construction site. And they're out. They're going to have a problem. They're going to be out a while. What is the process that would be followed? What should an employee do?
Well, let's use that example of a construction site accident that, for our purposes, is witnessed, and there's no question about the injured worker having been hurt on the job site. Typically, an insurance company is going to step in and begin paying the person while they conduct an investigation, all of which is great because the person is going to have some money coming in. They're going to have their medical benefits taken care of. What a lot of folks don't know is that, and I don't mean to speak disrespectfully of insurance companies because they're wonderful organizations that do take into consideration the human toll on someone who's hurt. But insurance companies, by their very nature, pay benefits because of a contractual obligation and not because of the goodness of their heart.
And they only pay contractual benefits, and there's only a contract because there's a statute that requires.
That is true.
Contract.
So what I typically would suggest the first thing an employee do is at least reach out to an attorney that focuses or specializes in workers' compensation for a simple reason. Your personal attorney is the only one who is going to have your best interests at heart. Even if an insurer is not initially contesting your claim for disability, my experience.
But the reality is, you know, somebody's at home, they're out of work, the big salary is stopped at the construction site, they're worried about paying the rent and putting food on the table. What do you say to people worried about paying a lawyer? Even a focused, experienced workers' comp lawyer.
The good news for anybody in that situation having that concern is this. Lawyers with workers' comp cases and Social Security cases and general liability cases, for that matter, We all work on what's called a contingent fee. So there's never a situation where a person is obliged to pay unless the attorney actually accomplishes something for them. Let me give you a direct example. Somebody calls me up and says, I got hurt at work and I want to know what's going on, what my rights are. Whether I spend 10 minutes on the phone or an hour and a half with that person, there's never a charge, period. If that person hires me, and I go to court to get them a benefit or I protect their benefits, I am paid only if I'm successful. And it's kind of a no-brainer because if I'm successful in court with workers' comp, the insurance company pays my fees and my costs, not my client.
Right. Right. So what is the process? Everybody should get a lawyer for reasons I mentioned earlier, and you did too, because you need somebody on your side. The workers' comp carrier, they may be nice people at times. They may be difficult people at times, but they're not really on the employee's side, and they are focused on the employer, in my view from the outside. So now the employee has his own lawyer or her own lawyer. What's going on? What happens next? What can the injured worker expect?
Well, let's take your example of a construction worker who gets hurt on the job. But perhaps in this case, the accident is not witnessed. And so the employer or the insurance company has, for whatever reason, some reason to suspect the legitimacy of the accident. And so they issue a denial. That person is nonetheless hurt and disabled and can't work. What do they do? The claims process, I will tell you the truth, can be grueling at times because a litigation for a comp case comes in several levels. You file a claim on a very simple piece of paper with the Department of Industrial Accidents. And in 30 days, give or take, after you file your claim, with supporting medical documentation, you get what's called a notice for a conciliation. Conciliation is an informal meeting with a court representative, me and my client, and either a representative or an attorney for the insurance company. Both sides will present their case to the conciliator, who may or may not make a recommendation about what to do, but ultimately they do not have any authority to issue an order. So if you can't resolve the matters at the conciliation level, the claim will get sent on to be scheduled for basically a pretrial conference with a judge. Judge does, of course, have the authority to issue an order directing payment of benefits.
Now, how long out is that normally, the conciliation, then the pretrial conference?
Well, the conciliation, as I said, is about a month, give or take, after you file a claim. Depending on what accident board location you're in, and there are several around the state, Springfield, Worcester, Lawrence, Boston, and Fall River. By and large, you're looking at 8 to 10 weeks between the conciliation and the pretrial conference. The pretrial itself is, again, simple. My client is not going to provide testimony. Similar to the conciliation, you appear in front of a judge with your medical evidence and other documentary support for your client's claim, and you tell the judge what happened. The insurance lawyer, similarly, is going to do the same thing. And within a week, give or take, the judge is going to issue a temporary order, either paying or denying the injured worker's claim.
That's when you really need a lawyer, big time, leading up to that.
From the filing of a claim
right
forward. It's not the kind of thing that you want to do alone. There are too many pitfalls.
Yeah, with the so we have somebody who's on comp, but there's a question about the nature and extent of the injury. For example, what goes on in the background, if you know?
Well, let me just finish, if I might.
Okay.
The claim process, and then I'll loop back to that question. After the pretrial conference, the injured worker typically is going to be scheduled to be seen by a court-appointed medical expert called an impartial doctor. And within a couple of months after that, a hearing or a trial is going to be scheduled where the injured worker is going to come in and testify live as to what happened. You can have investigators, you can have medical evidence again, but at that point in time is really where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, and you're in front of a judge who is going to write a decision about whether the injured worker is entitled to benefits or not. And the decision could be a complete denial if the judge does not find the individual credible. It could be an award for total disability benefits or something in between, because workers' comp can pay total or partial disability in certain circumstances. The point, I guess, is this. The litigation process can be grueling, and it can take up to, or in some cases, over a year to complete.
And that's that could be a real financial burden on somebody. I've heard of investigations. Insurance companies do that all the time. I've heard of surveillances, and a lot of these employees are followed by people to see if they're genuinely hurt. Have you ever heard of employers actually doing that themselves?
Employers?
Yeah, rather than just the insurance company.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of an employer that has unilaterally undertaken an investigation.
When we come back after the break, why don't we talk about some of the ways we resolve workers' comp cases and then move to the accident in Section 28. We'll tell people what that is. This is Bob Flynn talking about the law of workers' comp with Rob Noah. We'll be right back.